to another episode of We the People Radio on St. Paddy's Day. You'll figure out it's St. Paddy's Day when you hear the music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You wonder why all the people are wearing green. Hey, you got a green microphone. How about that?
I know. Huh. It goes with my shamrock shirt.
Oh, yeah.
My Aaron Girl bra pin that I've been wearing since I was a small child.
Yeah.
It looks like it, too. It's kind of haggard. It only gets worn once a year, but after 60-something years.
Wow.
Yeah. 60. Well, I don't know. I started going to school when I was, what, 5? Went to kindergarten in a basement. Huh.
Yeah, good for you.
Yeah, that's sad, isn't it?
Yeah, I didn't go in a basement.
Random thoughts. So, happy St. Paddy's Day. So, from Aaron Ryan over to Bill Cundiff, what do you got for us, Bill?
Well, you know, Aaron, our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere ag and turf dealer. Right now, you can get a great deal on a John Deere tractor, an implement, mower, and they got a good selection of electric mowers now. You know, California says you got to run them, so run down and get one from Pape Machinery. They've got them in stock and ready to go. Batteries are even charged up. You just get on it and go. They're located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard in the city of Shasta Lake. Or give them a call. Their phone number is 530-226-9226. Or get them on the web at papemachinery.com. And there you have it.
Well, there you have it.
Yeah.
And that's
so
fun.
What do we got today, Aaron?
Well, you know, we thought we'd contrast the Irish music, the jokes, and the, you know, the happiness of the Irish. And, you know, if you're not Irish, today's the day. Everybody gets to be Irish today. It's,
that's right.
It's kind of like going to Hawaii.
I'm
going to
go home and have myself a shillelagh.
Oh. Careful, I don't crack you with one before we get there.
Oh, sorry about that.
And for all those of you who don't have any Irish relatives, all the Irish have relatives that you could have, so...
Yeah, there's a bunch of them.
So that's always available. That's part of the plan. We've always got extra whiskey and extra relatives. We'll pick out the best ones for you, though, you know, so you just let us choose. Oh, my God. So I was really excited because, well, I was sick all week, so I wasn't excited about that, but I was excited we were talking to Claire Lopez and Dr. Lauver back here today because I said to myself, self, this would be a really good week to have some experts on. Wouldn't that be a good idea? And I could just sit here and use my nebulizer and yuck it up.
Yuck it up.
In my shamrock sweatshirt.
This is going to be a tough 2 hours, but we'll get through it.
Sorry, Lyle. So Claire and Lyle have done bunches of shows with us over the years, many years, as a matter of fact. And so we'll start with Claire. Claire, since I got a new bio for her, she's ever morphing and changing, and I don't like to misquote her morphing and changing. She is the founder and president of Lopez Liberty LLC. What a great name. With a mission to alert Americans to national security threats, both international and from Islamic movement and Muslim Brotherhood. And, oh, imagine, they're Marxist collaborators in this country. I just want you to know I attended a meeting in the United States where they must have used the word collaborator, I don't know, 45 times.
Wow.
All I could do not to just stand up and start screaming. So, all of you out there, I want you to take the word collaborator and wash your mouth out with soap if you're using it.
That and comrade kind of get me.
It's the collaborator blows my mind. She supported former acting ICE director Tom Homan and Tom Trento to defend the border and the United West, and was an instructor for John. How do we say his last name? Guandano? It's not an Irish name. We could make him Oguandalo, understanding the threat. So Claire's going to tell us more about that, since I didn't check that ahead of time on the name. She's done all sorts of stuff with a million different task force. She was involved with the electromagnetic pulse project that we used to chat with Dr. Peter Vincent Pry on all the time. And if that's a new idea for you, you should check out the website and listen to some of his previous shows. That'll be hair-raising for you. We miss him a lot. She She received a BA in Communications and French from Notre Dame College of Ohio and a Master's in International Relations from the Maxwell School of Syracuse University. She completed Marine Corps Officer Candidate School in Quantico, Virginia, but she decided to decline a military commission and join the CIA. I've always meant to ask Claire, what did your parents say? Were they like, wait, what?
She couldn't tell them.
Were they excited?
She couldn't tell them.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Did you even get to tell them? Did you have to pretend to be in the Marines? She's not saying. She's dropped off the line.
I don't think they ever understood anything that I wanted to do professionally. They basically... they had no concept of a career. They just thought you stay home, you go to church, you have children, and then that's it. That's your life.
Oh, and so the CIA was really a bridge too far. So working in a bank would have been, you know, hard to explain, but joining the CIA was probably just...
She told them and they said, CIA, what?
I always wanted to travel, so, you know, and
banking is so boring.
That was one of the ways I got to see the world.
Nice. Well, you were also on the Citizens Commission on Benghazi back in the day, and too bad you weren't in charge of it. We might have learned something. You're the VP of the Intelligence Summit and Career Operations Officer in CIA and all this different stuff. So in all this mess, just out of curiosity, has any of this improved, or is it all just going farther away?
You know, it's not that it has not improved. Some things have, but things have morphed and changed. And even though some of the same threats are with us that were, you know, many decades ago, be it, you know, as we talk about the red-green axis, red communism, Marxism has been with us for, you know, at least 100 years, unless you want to go all the way back to Marx. And, of course, the green, Islam, has been with us for 1,400 years. And that's not gone away, but the way that they have infiltrated our society, captured different pillars of society, as you might call them, in America, that has gotten worse. That has changed and gotten worse, in particular now with Beijing, with the Chinese Communist Party, you know, leading what I would say, the international communist movement, and that alliance together with the Green, of course, that goes back to Soviet times when the Soviets first began to muck about in the Middle East, supporting Yasser Arafat, the PLO, PFLP, and all the other, you know, Islamic terror groups there. Things have gotten worse in some ways, but we keep trying, I guess. That's the best thing we can say.
Well, we're looking forward to hearing more about all this today. I mean, you know, it's one thing to get bad news, but at least if it's factual, I think most people are all, you know, kind of okay with it a little bit. And
I think people want to know. They want to know what they're up against so that they themselves can make decisions in their own lives.
Yeah.
And take steps for themselves that are right for themselves and their families.
Yeah, what a clever
idea. And I guess that's what we try to do more than, you know, we're not just, you know, trying to scare them all to death, but rather just to alert so that they can make the decisions for themselves.
Agreed. And I think most people, that's their biggest beef, is that they feel like they're not being told the truth on an ongoing basis, and that's...
Or not being told anything, you know. Silence.
Yeah, pat you on the head. Everything's fine.
People are worried.
Don't look over here. There's nothing to see. All right, so then we better identify the other laugh in the background is our guest, Dr. Lyle Rapacki. He's the one who forwarded Claire's article earlier this week, so we will blame him for this. Whatever happens, it's Lyle's fault.
That's a good idea. It's always Lyle's fault.
I know. If I really do it, it's then no one ever blames me. I only get blamed for things I don't do. So, you know, it'll have to be something else I get blamed for. But let's see, our friend Dr. Lyle Rapacki, he's a private sector intelligence, behavioral analysis, and threat assessment specialist. And I've said that enough times, I can actually say that all in one breath now. Since June of 2010, he's provided selected members of the Arizona legislature intelligence briefings on border security and threats to Arizona sovereignty, which is how we wound up chatting with him in the first place, was all the stuff about the border, because, gosh, it's been a mess for so long, we can't stop calling him. Lyle also receives, analyzes, and disseminates critical intelligence from and to law enforcement, intelligence, governmental communities. He's the author of dozens of white papers, bulletins, and briefings, many of which have received distribution to and by local, state, and federal law enforcement. You know, and that's how we get Claire's stuff, typically, is through Lyle. I'm going to cut across, though, here on Lyle's thing, because he now is inspired by coming on We the People Radio to start his own program.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's just the story we're telling today. So if you go to ArizonaToday.com, and it's Arizona, the number two, the word day.com, you could follow all of his shenanigans, huh? Let's keep it green today. So you can follow Lyle's shenanigans there, and I'm sure after you're done listening to today, you'll want to do that because it's fun. Hey, Claire, we have a video on here of you doing the Claire Lopez Intel Report. Do you also do your own, do you publish your own stuff, or does it all just kind of go out through other people?
Well, I do not have my own podcast or website.
So there's no way for us to stalk
but
you.
But what I do is, you know, I publish, for example, the article that you mentioned that I'm sure we'll be talking about. I have a blog site at Newsmax, so I publish there on a regular basis. And other places, you know, regularly do interviewing with me. The American Truth Project, for one, excellent organization led by Barry Nussbaum. And the Citizens Commission on National Security, which you mentioned. Of course, the United West, led by Tom Trenchow. I was a founding member of that group way back, I think it might have been 2009, long time ago anyway. Other places to look for me, the Near East Center for Strategic Engagement, where I'm an advisory board member there. What have I missed? Of course, social media. Well, everything goes out over Twitter, Facebook, and I'm also on Truth Social and Telegram.
Well, that's kind of fun. I always get your things kind of randomly. I need to pay closer attention, but I'll add those. And Newsmax, how often do you do things on there? I know a lot of people watch that.
I would like to write more often, but it turns out lately maybe around once a month or so. I need to pick that up a little bit. But this most recent one, the article that we're referring to here, was published on March 8th, so just a couple weeks ago. Are Ramadan Jihad cells already in the United States? Question mark.
Well, I think that's where I think a lot of people are concerned is with this major influx of migrants across our border, unchecked and unverified. We don't know who's coming across, and it would be, I think, foolish to assume that they're all good people and they're just coming here for opportunity. No, I think there's, I agree. I won't be surprised when we find out there's been a fair amount of organization once they get here to basically attack our country.
I'm afraid that may be accurate. You know, what caught my attention and spurred me to write this article were two recent interviews that I heard, I watched. One was with former Navy SEAL, Blackwater founder Eric Prince, and he was on the Epoch Times news outlet speaking with Roman Balmakoff there. And the second interview was with Senator Roger Marshall, Republican out of Kansas. And the two of them, what they were talking about, just they coincided and they really got my attention. Eric Prince, to start with, speaking again, Epoch Times, was talking about, in response to questions from Roman, was talking about the fact that, in his opinion at least, and it was a very informed opinion there, that he thought one of the reasons at least why the Biden administration has been so reluctant to not only not say anything, basically, but not strike back in any meaningful way against the Iranian terror proxies, especially, you know, Hezbollah, especially the terror proxies, you know, that operate in places like Iraq and former Syria. They're sometimes called the Hashdashabi, or maybe the Popular Mobilization Units. You might hear that term. But these Shiite militias that have been hitting our forces, hitting, striking, missiles, drones, rockets. Mm-hmm. But the Biden administration, you know, hits back maybe a couple weeks later against an empty warehouse or something. So Eric Prince says in this interview, well, maybe one of the reasons why is that the Iranian regime has already surged. Who knows how many, just as you were saying there, who knows how many numbers of military fighters across our wide-open border. I mean, we know that China has sent who knows how many thousands of military-age fighting men, some of them very likely among the unit called the Jungle Tigers of the People's Liberation Army. So, you know, wide-open border, why wouldn't they use that, you know, as an opportunity to get terrorists, jihadis, fighters inside our borders? What could be easier?
Yeah.
How could letting millions of people in unchecked?
How could that be a problem? We have to take a really
unchecked,
quick break.
Unvetted, and you know, transported with our taxpayer dollars on buses that are up in plane flights that are operated by either the Department of State or various and different NGOs, non-governmental organizations like Catholic Charities and Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society and others, are taxpayer dollars flown and bused all over the country.
Hold that thought, Claire. We're super tardy for our break. We've got to take a really quick break.
Oh, go ahead.
And we will be right back. Our guests are Claire Lopez, Dr. Lyle Rapacki. You're listening to We the People on St. Patty's Day 2024. And the website is wethepeopleradio.us.
I'll be marching along in the big parade on St. Patrick's Day. I'll be up to me neck in shamrocks as I march along the way. I'll swing that old shillelagh as I wave to each colleen. I'll tilt me ear the better to hear the wearing of the green.
Oh, the Kelly's from Killarney, the Murphy's from Kildare.
The Hallahans and Callahans who came from County Clare.
There'll be folks from dear old Dublin all the way to County Cork.
They'll be marching in the big parade right here in old New York.
Oh, Danny boy, the pipes are calling. From glen to glen and down the mountainside. The summer's gone and all the roses dying. It's you must go and I must buy.
I know, so it's not like the big parade song. That's a pretty fun song.
I was kind of hoping for a little High Kings or something there, but that's all right.
It's a classic.
Yeah, okay.
There are a lot of people who've kind of done modern versions of some of these songs. Oof.
Yeah?
Yeah. Oof.
I like the rap version.
Yeah, right. That makes perfect sense. Got a little Irish Rovers coming up later.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness. Well, they're calling us back because we had some signal errors, you know. Claire was cutting out a little bit. But there they are calling. I hear them now. So the intel report I listed is Ramadan 2024, the Islamic month of jihad. So that ought to light your hair on fire. There is, and that's linked on the webpage for people.
Good. We're together. Okay.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. So, oh, yeah, we're all together.
Well, I was reading one article, I think last week. They said they estimate, you know, you were speaking about the Chinese coming across. They estimate like 20,000 Chinese that have not really been properly vetted have been released into the country. So I got to wonder.
Has anyone been properly vetted? I mean, to say that they haven't been properly vetted is kind of like an overstatement.
I think that's why people are a little bit concerned that, you know, these people are coming across and we don't have a clue who they are or how many there are and what their intentions are. So,
You know, some very excellent reporting has been done by at least a couple of reporters. One of them, Michael Yon, Y-O-N, and the other, Todd Benzman. The information about, in particular, these thousands, I mean, literally thousands of young, fit, military-aged Chinese men comes in large part from reporting from Michael Yon, who's been down at the Darien Gap. Of course, that's the jungle area that sits between the northern part of South America. Colombia connects it to the southern part of Central America and Panama. And he's been down there many times, and he reports from there. And at one point last year, we were talking on the phone, and he's sitting in a little cafe on the Panama side, and he's watching Chinese men climbing on these, you know, the great big white buses that the American taxpayer is paying for, the NGOs, through the State Department getting funded. And he told me that the villagers in this particular little town had said they watched these Chinese men emerging from the jungle, which is a very difficult, rugged passage. People die in there. They get through, they come out on the other side, and they're relieved, and they made it, you know. And the villagers told Michael, they said, we saw them killing chickens and drinking shots of their blood.
Oh,
and
wow,
they didn't know what that was about. Michael didn't know what that was about. So he contacted a mutual friend of ours, Li Mengyan, who is a Chinese virologist named, might be familiar to you, escaped out of Hong Kong summer, fall of 2020, to blow the whistle on the SARS-CoV-2 and the Chinese biological weapons program from which it emerged. And she knew, and she said, oh, that drinking the chicken blood thing, that's the signature training ritual of the Jungle Tigers, name given to the 75th Special Operations Battalion of the Chinese People's Liberation Army.
Oops.
So they were identified as what they were. And, of course, they head straight north. And I doubt they're the ones coming through the ports of entry or even using that CBP One app on the cell phones. They probably come through the gaps between the ports of entry, which are no longer manned anymore because all the CBP agents have been called off to the ports of entry to process people.
That's frightening.
Wow.
So here's trained military males coming into the country unchecked.
Drinking chicken blood.
For what purpose?
In public.
Right.
Well, I mean, and then you think about the rest of the Chinese presence here in America. Of course, there's the embassy in Washington, D.C. There's the U.N. mission in New York City. In addition to that, there are four remaining consulates, one in New York, one in Chicago, Los Angeles, and San Francisco. Plus, there are any number of what they're calling, not so secret anymore, but police stations,
right.
Not diplomatic facilities, manned by Chinese police in our country. And additionally to that, an unknown number of what they're calling special service stations. And again, not diplomatic facilities either, but manned by Chinese. So they've got all of that. Now they've got these hordes pouring in, and just last year we learned that the Chinese regime, the Chinese Communist Party, and the PLA were establishing not just a presence at the old Soviet Lourdes intel gathering site on Cuba, but entering into a joint military training program with the Cubans. So how about that for a command and control center for all the rest of them?
Well, and aren't the Chinese heavily engaged in, what is it, Panama or Nicaragua, one of those countries down there? They're pouring tons of resources and money into and using it.
You're
basically
right.
As
yeah,
an base
operations.
They're
trying to extend their so-called Belt and Road Initiative, which extends into South and Central America, Caribbean too, as well as other parts of the world, but here in the Western Hemisphere, you know, offering to finance infrastructure projects, your roads, railways, bridges, what have you, but by that way getting a foothold into that country. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's what's happening.
Yeah. You know, there was a time, I mean, when you look back at, like, the Cuban Missile Crisis, when we found out about that, it was nipped in the bud pretty quickly. Now we have all this foreign activity going on in the Western Hemisphere, and it's basically going unchecked. They're moving in, and we're not really too concerned about it. Is that accurate?
Well, our leadership at the moment certainly doesn't seem to be, with certain exceptions. And here I'll mention the second interview that caught my attention for the article that I wrote. And that one, again, was with Senator Roger Marshall, Republican of Kansas, who on Sunday, March the 3rd, joined Fox News' Sunday Morning Futures program with Maria Bartiromo. And on that program, he was warning about the Chinese triads. Those are criminal operations, criminal organizations operating all across America. They are not just here. They're elsewhere, transnational, organized crime syndicates, based, of course, in communist China. But Roger Marshall was talking about their presence here in the U.S., and specifically in Kansas, of course, the state he represents in the Senate. And he was talking about an explosion of human trafficking. He was talking about a proliferation that he could see in his state of massage parlors and other Chinese fronts that he sees as front groups for the Chinese Communist Party, like hair and nail salons, for example, and identified the people working there as essentially enslaved Chinese women who are brought across the border. And these things are what? They're money, they're very sophisticated money laundering operations. That's how he characterized them. Then he went on to talk about the flood of fentanyl trafficking coming across our southern border. And that, of course, too, comes straight out of China.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Are you aware or have you heard anything about the Chinese training program here in Reading, training Chinese nationals to fly jets? We have a jet center here in Reading that we have pretty much catered to the Chinese. I mean, the city's even put in a bus route to transport the Chinese back and forth to the airport. It's a big operation. There's several, I would guess, several hundred Chinese being trained out there to fly jets, and that's been going on for quite a while. Now, I'm not saying there's anything nefarious about that, but it seems a little strange.
I did not know about that, but if you or one of you might send me some information about that, I'll be glad to write about it.
Yeah,
I mean, what could possibly go wrong?
No, exactly, and I've always thought that was a little strange that we're Chinese or training the Chinese to fly jets. Why are we doing that? They don't have any instructors of their own, or,
kind of like sending Muhammad Atta to a flight training school in Florida, kind of like that. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, we can definitely send you some information on that.
Thank you.
It makes me wonder how many operations like that are going on in this country, just kind of under the radar. You know, we're actually taking money from the Chinese to train, their military.
But look at how many of our campuses have, we have all these Confucius universities and all the shows we've done with Dr. Chen about that kind of stuff, and it's like, okay, that should be concerning.
Has anybody brought up the flight training school there in Reading, brought that up to any local representatives?
Oh, yeah.
Either at your state legislature or Congress?
I don't know on a state or federal level, but I know locally they're taking the money. I mean, they get paid a lot of money to train these folks, and the Jet Center makes, I'm sure, a lot of money training them. And
well, I think we probably shouldn't pipe off too much since we haven't actually done any research on this.
Raised up to a higher level.
Yeah. Yeah,
only local.
Yeah, we can send you what we know. I mean, I know nothing about it, to be honest with you. I know there's days we'll go to a local grocery store here on a weekend, and there's days we run into the day that all the Chinese are shopping, and it's there's a lot of Chinese out there. So
yeah, and that's fine as long as nobody's setting up base to do something odd, bad, or weird.
Well, it gets back to basically trading technology. I mean, we're trading technology with the Chinese right here.
Not even just trading, allowing them to rip us off blindly through intellectual property theft and outright technology theft, and we've been doing this for decades.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In all industries, not just tech.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of industries that are getting taken advantage of. So
yeah, and to Aaron's point there, she was beginning to talk about our campuses, where any particular year there are in the range of 300,000 Chinese students at the undergraduate, graduate levels of our schools. And no, they're not studying underwater basket weaving.
Mm-hmm.
They are studying things like computer science and nuclear technology and physics. Serious topics, serious subjects.
And to give them credit, I mean, they're hard workers. They study hard. They learn everything they're sent here to learn. And some of them don't return. Some of them realize that, you know, life here is much different than what they've been taught in China, and they elect to stay.
Sure.
You know, but I think the vast majority of them don't. I think the vast majority.
Well, but again, I mean, it's the vetting, right, or the lack thereof.
Right.
And the fact that foreign students in general typically pay full tuition, whereas American students do not often pay, or often do not pay full tuition. They might be getting financial aid, they might be getting scholarships and grants and so forth. But the foreign students come in and they pay full freight for the tuition as well as housing, you know,
right.
Dorms.
Right.
Yeah, which works out well for the universities. I'd like to, when we come back, talk to us about this national, you know, thing of jihad, since we're kind of dumb about all this Ramadan and what all these things mean sometimes. And I know we've done shows with you guys but I think when most people hear that, they think, oh, it's some, you know, religious thing and doesn't have anything to do with me. And why should that be concerning for people? And you guys would likely have some insight into that. So we would like to have that when we come back. So we're going to continue with a little St. Paddy's Day break here at We the People Radio. You can find us online at wethepeopleradio.us. Caught him sleeping.
Oh.
Oh, my name is McNamara. I'm the leader of the band. Although a few in numbers, we're the finest in the land. We play at wakes and weddings and at every fancy ball. And when we play to funerals, oh, we play the march from Saul.
Well, the drums go banging, the cymbals clanging, the horns they blaze away.
McCarty pumps the Alvasu while I the pipes do play.
And the Hennessy, Tennessee tootles, the flute and the music is something grand.
A credit to all Ireland is McNamara's band.
Smiling, sure 'tis like a morning spring. In the lilt of Irish laughter, you can hear the angels sing. When Irish hearts are happy, all the world
bright and gay. But when Irish eyes are smiling, sure they steal.
You know what that song teaches you, doesn't it? The Irish are much better friends than they are enemies.
Ah, okay.
Because when the Irish eyes are not smiling, all bets are off. Because we play hard on both directions.
Is that when you get a shellacking?
Mm-hmm. That's when the shillelagh comes out. Not okay. The fun kind either. So speaking of which, the Ramadan thing. Why should we be concerned about that, or why is that a red, well, I don't know, can we say red flag? They're a green flag, aren't they?
Well, Ramadan is the annual month of the year during which faithful Muslims are to observe fasting and prayer. That's how it's advertised anyway. In fact, over the centuries, and there have been many, Ramadan is more often an occasion for jihad attacks. Of course, as we know from books of Islamic doctrine and law, jihad is defined as warfare against non-Muslims. So that's not so good. And we this year began the observance of Ramadan at sundown on March 10, and it'll go for a full month until sundown on April 10. So we're well into it now. We have heard Islamic leaders, imams, Hamas leadership, the clerical leadership of Al-Azhar in Cairo, Egypt, all over the world, and including right here in mosques in the United States, and we know this because some of those sermons that are given there are captured and talked about in outlets like MEMRI, Middle East Media Research Institute, MEMRI, very good website, where they report on things like this. So we know that the call has already gone out. Since before the beginning of Ramadan this year, the call has gone out to use the month as a month of jihad, a month of attacks against the non-Muslim, in particular this year, of course, because of the ongoing Israeli operations in Gaza.
Lovely.
And then you pair that all, the calls inside America, inside mosques in America, with everything else going on in the wider world, pair that with what we were just talking about, our wide-open southern border, and, well, we shall see.
Yeah, because you got to wonder, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when.
Unfortunately, probably so.
What kind of information would we get from the intel community if we were looking at things like that? Would it all just be really silent, or would they?
No, not at all. Maybe even surprisingly, over the last at least few months, maybe back into last year, we have had senior members of the intelligence community, like FBI Director Christopher Wray, appearing before, for example, Senate hearings on the Hill. And he's been remarkably open about warning. In his words, the lights are all blinking red. They have never seen a threat situation in America like this since 9/11, or since before 9/11. This is what he has said openly in open Senate hearings. And then we had a letter this past January, that's January 2024, from a bunch of retired former senior FBI agents who wrote this letter. There must have been 10 or 12 of them as signatories. And they sent the letter to senior leadership of Congress, both House and Senate, in January. And in the letter, they, too, warned of a threat situation inside the United States. They don't necessarily mention Ramadan or jihad. I don't know if they know what that is. But they do mention that the warning indicators and warnings that they're seeing have them all alarmed. It's been very open, very public.
So you're the rank and file, unsuspecting public. What's your job?
Well, first, to be aware that this situation is developing around the country, and that we have been warned repeatedly and warned publicly, and to make plans with your own family for how to communicate with each other, how to stay in touch with each other. How to be aware of your surroundings at all times. How to have alternate means of communication if, I don't know, the cell phones don't work or something. So that's at the family local level, just basic, ordinary situational awareness. But also at the local level, but for local law enforcement, I would say, and Lyle can talk some more about this for sure, would be the local population, the local civilian population, being in touch with, listening to, and communicating with your local sheriff's departments. The sheriff's departments, sheriff, of course, being the highest law enforcement official, the senior-ranking law enforcement official in any county in America, elected by the people, not appointed like a police department or police chief or something by the, city council or something, the mayor, but rather elected by the people. So there's a more direct connection there. But to be communicating with the sheriff's departments at this point in time and offering, you know, whatever assistance they might. But Lyle, you've probably got some insights into that sort of level of communication.
Well, thanks, Claire. For the last hour, I always love listening to Claire. We go back quite a few years, don't we, Claire?
Oh, yeah, a lot.
I don't even know how many, 12, 13, 14. And we've presented on various platforms together, and I always listen and take notes as fast as I can with Claire because she is a subject matter specialist. And so all that she has shared thus far, I hope people will take this tape that you guys provide me, the people, and listen to it again. It's rich with information. Let me go in a couple of directions and hopefully tie it all together. All that Claire has talked about in a very elementary form, I've discussed with We the People Radio, if you guys remember, oh my gosh, how many years ago, 10, 12, also with you guys, because we were discussing Agenda 21 at the time. We were discussing the very detailed plan to collapse the United States into the New World Order. Now, at that time, a lot of people thought that was conspiracy theory or reactionary. On a good couple of occasions, Claire, correct me, I had Claire and several other subject matter specialists. John Guandolo is another. We gave presentations to selected audiences of legislators, law enforcement, and other notables because we were forewarning them at the time of the magnitude of what was coming and the multifaceted presentations. I think half of them accepted it. I think half of them began to figure out what do we do, but the other half still thought it was sensational. Claire could have a different observation on that.
No, I think you're absolutely right. Keep going.
And so what was presented both on PowerPoint, I remember Claire did it, John did it, Frank Gaffney and others, we presented information because we saw where the federal government was collapsing in the sense that they were not going to stand up and protect the rights of the individuals. Now, that goes totally against their oath of office, but that's what we began to see happening way back when. We then left it up to legislators, sheriffs, as she mentioned, not chiefs of police, and other high-level individuals in the communities to come together and begin to be aware of what was coming down the road so we weren't taken off guard. Well, it's been like pushing pudding uphill. I know Claire has done it consistently. I've been allowed to do it, and others, and it's just been a tough program up till probably the last 2 years, Claire, I would say, because when Biden got in, actually Obama got a third term, in my opinion. When Obama got in with Biden here, and they did away with Trump in 2020, they immediately went to work to open the borders. And this was what Obama wanted to do all along, and that was part of Agenda 2020, which has then been renamed Agenda 2030. But it's the same game plan, is to do away with our northern and southern border and to just basically allow anyone and everyone in. What Claire has shared this past hour is very fruitful. It's really rich with intel in itself. The Chinese that have come into America, I think one of the bigger problems we're having right now, the Chinese are still staying, Claire, correct me because you're the subject matter specialist, but the Chinese, even the young men, the military-age men, and the Iranian young men, they're staying somewhat quiet to a degree. It's the Venezuelan gangs, it's the other gangs from Haiti and other places like that that are causing real havoc in many communities. The killings, the just the heinous crimes that are now beginning to come to the surface. I read an intel report the other day that for the first time in 20 or 22 years in Venezuela, the crime rate is down for the first time in 20 or 22 years. And that's because they've opened their prisons and released all these criminals and these gangs into America.
Shipped them to
going
us.
Going back to something else that Claire talked about. And this is all verifiable stuff. This is not opinion. What Biden has done because of the controversy on the southern border, they began transporting people from Mexico into the middle parts of the United States and other selected communities. They bypassed the southern border. That way they didn't have to deal with the PR problem. But so you're getting gangs, you're getting criminals, you're getting young military age people from China, Iran, maybe North Korea. Claire can speak into that. Into America here, into predetermined locations. There is also I'm going to use the word soft intelligence, meaning I don't have it absolutely verified. Claire can speak into this. But I do have soft intelligence where law enforcement and certain intel groups have uncovered stacks of weapons and explosives already pre-located in and around America. Now, that's highly unusual. Why would you have hidden large amounts of weaponry, ammunition, and explosives? Why would you do that? Well, again, when you take a look at the tracking of these groups coming into America, be it Venezuelan, Chinese, Iranian, et cetera, they are going to regions where these weapons are already stored. So I think instead of pretending that we're conspiracy theorists, I think it would behoove people to begin to take a look at the possibility of this and plan accordingly, which is what Claire just talked about. One more thing before I'll be quiet for a minute or two.
Actually, you'll get five because the news will cut us off. It'll be perfect.
Oh, what? How many minutes do I have?
No, you're good. You got like one.
Oh, well, let me wait until after this.
Oh, so you're just going to leave me hanging with a minute? A whole minute?
No. What I'm going to do.
I mean, I've got an Irish jig coming up, but it's only 30 seconds long.
Yeah, well, I want to give a shout out to Pape Machinery. I got to drive the John Deere tractor, and the pole, I mean, those tractors are phenomenal. You can hit poles and buildings, and they just keep going. I just want to say to John Deere and to Pape Machinery, you really put out a great product.
Well, those poles are all repairable. We don't need to talk about that. Yeah,
and,
that's not a big deal.
And it just showed the integrity of the tractor.
Yeah.
And Pape, you know, still paid me my $2 for giving them. That's more than you guys paid me. I'm still getting $1.25.
I think Robert sent you. Robert sent you two and a quarter, and we've got a book on the way. We're going to send you something to read.
I told Claire before she came on, I said, I'll bet you they made a separate deal with you. You're probably getting $5.
I got to find a theme.
I'll bet you I'm getting $0. $1.25. That's not fair.
That's a long time issue, Claire. I mean, lawyers have been involved. A lot of arguing.
And the Irish Jig said it's news time. We'll be right back with our guests, Claire Lopez and Dr. Lyle Rapacki, listening to me.